The following is a presentation from the pulpit of Lancaster Baptist Church. For more audio and video content from our ministry, please visit lancasterbaptist.org.
Well, tonight we want to talk about this theme of launching out, and I want to thank you for being here tonight and for your prayers leading into this night. God gave us a wonderful morning this morning with several folks saved and baptized as we began the year. But tonight we want to just take some time to understand where we're heading in 2013. And what I want you to remember as we take these next 15 or 20 minutes together is that our journey has a purpose. And I want you to realize that we have a very clearly defined purpose at Lancaster Baptist Church, and it's summarized in this little phrase: loving God, growing together, and serving others. Let's say that, shall we? Loving God, growing together, and serving others. And right in the middle of that is our church logo, growing together in Christ. And that is depicted with a growing plant and the cross in the middle, because all of us are here growing together in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to take this purpose tonight and use this as our outline as we look at 2013 and how we want to launch out on purpose, growing together in Christ. And we're going to start with this phrase, loving God. And I want you to think about this with me. The Bible commands us that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And the Bible tells us that this is something that pleases God. And so I want to just give you some ways that we focus on this purpose of loving God and that we will focus in 2013. First of all, we're going to focus on loving God through loving His Word and through the preaching of His Word. And Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, we have been preparing messages to help us in the new year to know the Lord and to love the Lord in a greater way. We make no apology for the fact that we believe in the importance of preaching of the Word of God. And in fact, I want you to realize that in some senses, this vision tonight is much like the vision we had 27 years ago. And that ought not to be a boring thing. That ought to be a blessed thing. 27 years ago, we had preaching and soul winning, and we're going to talk about staying with those purposes tonight as we enter the new year. But as we think about preaching, I want you to continue to pray and participate in the Journey with Jesus Sunday morning preaching series. Of course, is something that we've really been enjoying together, and if you haven't already done so, let me just put a little plug in to encourage you to register at journeywithjesus.tv, and when you register, you're going to receive the updated questions on a weekly basis. You're going to have access to a lot of different study material for the Gospel of Luke. And this is just a major emphasis of our church right now, getting to know Jesus, walking with Jesus, journeying with Jesus in the new year. Let me encourage you, as Journey with Jesus blesses your heart, and you might want to mention it on Facebook or Twitter and use the hashtag and so forth, and just kind of spread the word in a good way. So many people use social media to criticize, to gossip, to link up with old friends they shouldn't be linking up with. And let's use it to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And let's use it to promote growing together in Christ. And so, Journey with Jesus on Sunday morning. Sunday night, we're preaching through the book of Colossians, and we're going verse by verse through the book of Colossians. Last week, Colossians 3 and verse 17. And every single week, we're just taking time to go verse by verse through the book of Colossians on Sunday night. Next Sunday night, we'll be learning Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18 on the Christian family, the role of the husband, the role of the wife, as we go right through Colossians verse by verse. Wednesday night this year we're calling Launch Point, and Wednesday night is a launch point into a tremendous opportunity of spiritual growth for every person that attends Lancaster Baptist Church. Launch Point will include, of course, right in this auditorium, a Bible study time that will be around different themes every month. This month our theme will be launching out. I'll be preaching and teaching this Wednesday night from Proverbs chapter 3, launching out in a trust, as we have a heart of trust for the Lord, and we'll be having a theme every single month, and emphasizing that theme in preaching and teaching, myself, some of the pastoral staff, some special guests as well from time to time. Also on Wednesday night, several other things that you'll see on the screens, we'll be having different electives provided. They'll be announced in the bulletin. Some of the electives this year are Christian parenting and soul winning and Baptist history, how to parent teens, how to study the Bible, team soul winning 1 and 2. My wife Terry and others will be teaching a class for young wives and young mothers on how to be keepers at home, and there will be many other electives, and we can launch out on Wednesday night in these opportunities. Of course, we'll also have our discipleship on Wednesday night as an ongoing ministry for new believers at Lancaster Baptist Church. And so Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, gathering together around the Word of God. Dr. Lee Robertson often said it takes three to thrive. I believe that we don't need less Bible study today. We need to be faithful at the house of God around the Word of God. And then, of course, to kind of kick all this off, we have our winter revival coming up, and that is coming up on January 27th through 30. I want to just remind you tonight that there will be a couple of special prayer nights leading into the revival. We'll be having one special prayer night on January the 23rd, and another on January the 20th, rather, and on January 13th, 20th, and 27th will be the prayer nights. And these will be Wednesday nights preceding the revival meeting. We're going to be gathering together with our adult classes into small groups after the Bible study and praying specifically for the revival. I want to ask everyone here to consider becoming a part of the 24-hour prayer chain. You can sign up for that on your way out tonight. You can also sign up for that online if you'd like to be a part of the 24-hour prayer chain. That's 7 days before the revival meeting coming up later on this month. Also, we're going to have 3 days, and you'll see this in the bulletin, where we're going to call the church to fast for the revival meeting. 3 days during the month of January. There'll be three Mondays. Those Mondays are starting next Monday, 1 week from tomorrow, and then the three Mondays following, asking God to work in our hearts, setting aside meals and spending time during the breakfast, lunch, and dinner hour praying for revival, asking God to reveal sin, asking God to bring conviction, asking God to make us right as we approach the new year. And so I want you to recognize that this matter of the winter revival is a vital part of 2013. Then I want you to also remember to love God through your personal devotion life, and I want to encourage you in personal devotions. Now, I've done everything I know how to do to prompt, to remind, to enroll, and I'm just convinced that as much as three services a week help, that if we're not in the Word of God daily, then we're going to get blindsided by the wicked one. And I want to encourage you in the new year in your personal devotional life. A couple of things we've done this year. First of all, we have reformatted the Daily in the Word devotional. And how many of you received that devotional? Let me see where you are. All right, maybe two-thirds. And I really appreciate your receiving that and joining with me in Bible study and prayer. You'll have a new format this year revolving around the book of Proverbs. And we're going to go a proverb every single day according to the day of the week. And you'll see a new format with the Launch Out logo, and the devotions that I'm writing are from the book of Proverbs. And then you'll have a daily devotional that's given, as well as a daily Bible reading schedule that's given there as well. What a powerful thing to think of all of those people, really, in our church and across the country. I think about 15,000 people every day who are receiving this. But you know, if all of us would join our hearts together to pray for revival and ask God to speak to our hearts, and if we would spend that time in the Word of God, I truly believe it would make a difference on a daily basis. And so let me encourage you, don't forget to sign on for that. And if you haven't done so already, just on the next slide, a quick reminder, you go to lancasterbaptist.org and then click on where it says Today's Devotion, and then there'll be a place to register and receive a daily devotion. And I want to encourage you, besides the preaching time, to make it personal, to have some time every day where you open up the Word of God. And then we want to love God not only through preaching, not only through our daily devotion. Let's not forget to love God in the new year in our giving. Amen. And that was between a Methodist and a Presbyterian level, so let's try that again. Let's not forget to love God in our giving. Amen. And I'll tell you what, the Bible says where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be also. And so let's remember in the new year to seek first the kingdom of God. Three ways that we can give, of course, and I'll just mention them briefly. We can give as we assemble personally, giving in the offering. Sometimes people give by mail if they're going to be out of town, and you can give online. But however you do it with a cheerful heart, and do it for the Lord, and give with a cheerful heart to Him. And what a blessing it is to show our love to Him in these ways. So we're loving God as we hear preaching, as we get into His Word, as we give to Him. This is our first purpose, loving God with our heart, soul, and mind. The second purpose is growing together in Christ. growing together in Christ. And in 2013, we're proposing that we grow together once again in a number of ways. Let me mention to you some of the ways that we're looking forward to growing in 2013. First of all, I want to mention our adult Bible fellowships. And I just want to ask every one of you to pray and participate in an adult Bible fellowship. You know, sometimes people can go through hard times, they can have trials, and no one knows about it if they're not connected with an adult class. Oftentimes, folks that come into our church for the first time, they see a big building, they see a lot of people, and it's a little overwhelming. But the way to make it a small, loving family is to be a part of an adult Bible class. And I really want to encourage you this year to be a part of one of our 56 adult classes. There's a class for every age group and every situation, and we want to encourage you to be a part. And by the way, if you have been in a class for a while, and the life stage of that class is maybe 30 to 40, and you're now 79, it's okay next week to rotate to that class that's closest to your life stage. We like to kid around with some of our teachers. They kind of neglect this concept of life stage, and they kind of go from 20 to 80, you know. And I understand there's a lot of love in those classes. I understand that. But I also understand there's something to being with people that have similar situations in your life and so forth. And so look at that list. And next week, if you'd like to visit a class, it's just so important that you get to the right class and you get involved in others' lives serving and growing together. Now, we also have, through every class, the daily in the Word discipleship. And this discipleship program takes place on Wednesday night. Sometimes it takes place at a Saturday or at an off time if someone can't be there Wednesday night. But this is an opportunity, and if you've never been through it, it's such a blessing. It is a tremendous material that helps us grow in our faith, understanding of our Christian heritage, understanding of the doctrines of the Word of God. And this year, we're looking for more people that will raise up through your adult class. And just tell your teacher, I want to go through it, and then I want to help somebody else go through it. And there's a lot of people in our church, that's their Wednesday night ministry. And while I'm in here speaking to the larger group, there's 100 or so people over in Revel's building, and one-on-one just going through this book and answering questions, kind of helping somebody to get up and get going in their Christian life. And this is one of the ways we grow together in Christ. And it is awesome. But I just want to encourage you, if you haven't been through it, to ask your teacher about it. If you have been through it, to just be available to help someone else go through it as new people are saved this year. Of course, I mentioned this morning the Launch Out Into the Deep Men's Fellowship. So men, let me mention that again. That's coming up on January the 27th. And I want you to mark that down on your calendar. January the 27th, we'll be gathering with the men in the North Auditorium. And we're going to have an opportunity that morning to challenge just the men about being Christian men who live with dignity and integrity and the Spirit-filled life for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a book that you'll be offered that morning. And then we're also going to have four times that we meet with just the men in 2013, launching out into the deep and reading through books of the Bible, and keeping each other accountable as men of the church. So men, mark that down. It's the last Sunday of January. The ladies will be here with a guest speaker. The men will be across the way, and I'll challenge the men on that morning as we grow together in Christ. Coming this fall, something I'm very excited about, we're going to have a new opportunity for our daily devotions. And I'm going to be encouraging the men with this fall, but making available for all of our church family as well. For many years, I've had a personal devotional journal, and it's categorized in about 10 different categories of life. Those categories deal with prayer. Those categories deal with relationships such as family relationship, work relationship, witnessing relationship, stewardship, and finance. There's 10 areas of life, 10 rocks in the spiritual jar, and we're currently writing a stewarding life journal, and it allows someone to have in their personal devotions an opportunity to write out what God is saying to them, to evaluate those 10 areas of growth, to make sure that we're not missing some of the main priorities of the Christian life. And this will be introduced to the church in the fall. I'm very excited about a church-wide campaign, not just to get the devotional, but to record what God is teaching us and to grow through Stewarding Life Journal. And this is something I think will be a tremendous help church wide. Then, of course, for our student ministries, we're very excited about what God is doing. We had teenagers saved this morning through the youth ministry, and we just rejoice in what's happening 7th through 12. Our teenagers have on Sunday morning, they have a new identity for their youth group called Ignite, and this is their logo, and they're excited about the new building that's been given to them to use upstairs in the new classrooms. On Wednesday nights, the teenagers have a meeting called Refuel. And teenagers, I want to encourage you to be a part of this. This is a revamped discipleship opportunity for the teenagers where they're breaking up into different groups and being challenged to read the New Testament in 30 days. They're also going to have a program this summer called Alive. It's a discipleship program of daily Bible reading and prayer. This fall, they'll be going through a series of lessons on purity. And all of our teenagers will be challenged to take a purity pledge, maintaining purity until their time of marriage. And we're excited about a lot of the programs designed for our young people to grow together in Christ. This spring, our teenagers will be involved in a program called Advance. And this program is their stewardship program. And just this morning, they kicked this off, and they're already planning to give generously as we have our opportunity to do so with the Elevated Magnify offering coming later in March. So you pray for our teenagers as they grow together in Christ in 2013. By the way, don't forget to pray for our Spanish ministry. They'll be having tomorrow a Spanish leadership conference. We literally ran out of room for our summer conference here in June. And so Brother Navarrete is going to be hosting tomorrow, and we have over 100 senior pastors coming in tomorrow for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and they'll be having preaching and teaching for the next 3 days. I'll be preaching for them on Wednesday afternoon, and I want you to pray for our Spanish department. Their goal this year is to reach every Spanish home in the Antelope Valley with the gospel message, and they'd like to begin a radio broadcast in Spanish right here in the Antelope Valley. I want you to pray for them. Their numerical goal is to reach 1,000 on an average every single Sunday, and I want you to pray for the Spanish department. They're over in the North Building right now, and what a wonderful part of our church ministry and a joy to serve the Lord together with them. Now, just in a synopsis, let me mention some of the events that are designed to help us grow together in Christ in 2013. These are on the bulletin and also in the calendar that we passed out this morning. We'll have those available tonight afterwards as well. Let me remind you of the couples retreat, February 8th and 9th. Brother Bax is coming from Australia to preach and to teach. He is a tremendously gifted speaker at couples events. And Brother Bruce Fry will be providing the special music. Several of our pastoral staff will do the breakout sessions. And I just believe that this is something, fellas, that we ought to step up to the plate and just say, I'm going to make this a priority for my home. And I want to encourage you, look, you take off time for your hobby, for fishing. You take off time maybe to go golfing or go to a gun show or whatever you like to do. Listen, take off time to make sure your marriage is strong. And I want to encourage you to do that coming up February the 8th and 9th. Teenagers, we want you to be praying for the youth conference, April the 3rd through the 5th. You know, we'll have teenagers from all over America right here in this auditorium, but I always pray specifically for our teenagers that this will be a time when they make decisions for the Lord and when they truly decide that they're going to sell out for Jesus Christ. Then, of course, we have the leadership conference. This is our 27th anniversary conference, June the 9th through the 12th. Let me encourage you, as you look at the calendar today, why don't you determine to pray for that conference, attend the conference, help with the conference, picking folks up, cleaning the buildings, attending sessions, whatever you want to do. Look, this is our church opening up our arms and welcoming guests to come in. It's going to be a great time. Men and Boys Camp Out, June 21st through 22nd, up in the Sierra Nevada Mountains. Ladies Conference, September 26th through 28th. Missions Conference, and then right into our Christmas outreach. These are some of the big events where we're going to grow together and serve others in the new year. And then let's go right into that theme of serving others. What are we asking the Lord to let us do just in the realm of serving others in the new year? Let's talk first of all about soul winning. Amen? Let's talk about how we can serve others. How many of you believe, as I believe, the very best way that you can serve someone else is to introduce them to Jesus Christ? Now, you might start off with an In-N-Out burger, and that's a good way to serve somebody too. And you might show some hospitality like that. But around here, we believe that every opportunity in ministry should lead ultimately to the gospel somehow. Everything we do should have a gospel-centered purpose. And the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. And so I want to challenge every member of our church to carry gospel tracts, to memorize the scriptures that specifically speak to how someone can know Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Bible says that we're to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh a reason of the hope that is within us with meekness and fear. God says, I want you to be ready for those opportunities and be engaged in those opportunities. You know, last year our church was able, by the grace of God, to go to 407,000 homes. Some of those homes we went to twice probably, but knocking on 407,000 homes with the gospel, knocking on the door, introducing ourselves, at least giving a gospel tract, inviting someone to church, telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Paul said at Ephesus that he went publicly and from house to house, compelling people to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. This past year, we had a good number of people. In fact, 1,256 people walked these aisles accepting Christ as their Savior. But did you know that over 600 people out in their home, sitting down because someone from this church visited, over 600 people in their home accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior last year? And what a blessing that is to see people coming to Christ. And I want to encourage you, we have a goal, Brother Furso submitted this year, to reach 500,000 homes with the gospel of Jesus Christ. All God's people said, amen. That's a tremendous goal. And on this vision night, we share that vision with you. And we're looking forward to just joining together and serving our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, this morning, there was a dear lady that was baptized. She may be here tonight. And she's originally from Iran. And she was saved through this ministry. She accepted Christ as her Savior. She brought her two young nephews. And last week in the 11th grade class, Brother Schellenberg led those boys to Christ. And today, her brother and his wife, also from Iran, as well as his brother-in-law and sister, came to see this young lady baptized. And the man stood back here at the back after the service, and he spoke to me, and he said to me, he said, I enjoyed your speech today. And that's okay. I don't care what they call it as long as they're enjoying it. Amen. He said, I've been in this country, and I forget how many years it was, maybe 10 or maybe 20. But he said, this was the first time I've ever been in any church of any kind. He said, I come from a different faith, but I'm ashamed of my faith. I'm so sad by the leaders in Iran and what they do. And he said to me, he said, the people from your church have been so kind. He said, your son has come and visited my boys, and Mrs. Elliott has visited our home. And he said, we just through those visits felt like we should come and see what's happening at Lancaster Baptist Church. I want to tell you something, folks. Listen, I've been around the block on this. I know what's taught at seminars. I know what other pastors say. I know what other churches say. But I know what the Bible says, and my Bible still says, go into all the world. Soul winning still works. And our job is to get the gospel out as never before. Now, coming up on January 22nd, that's a Tuesday night, and January 26th, that's a Saturday morning, Brother Furso will be taking all those that signed today on the card that they want to be involved in soul winning and helping them be paired up with someone that's been out for a while and knows a little bit about witnessing. And we're going to kick our soul winning program off in January in a wonderful way, going back out into our community and just seeking to win people to Christ, share the gospel with them. We're not the soul winner. The Holy Spirit is the soul winner, but we can sure sow the seed and help people to know that Jesus Christ loves them and that there's a home in heaven for those who trust in Christ. There are several outreach events as you pray and look on the calendar. Again, we'll not go through every event on the calendar tonight, but just several things to look at. First of all, there's Friend Day coming up on March the 3rd. You might start praying about that one now. Someone that you'd like to invite to be a part of the special meal and receive the special gift and just to be here for Friend Day. We have our Businessmen's Luncheon. How many of you attended the Businessmen's Luncheon we had a few months ago? Let me just see. All right, good number of you did. We have a wonderful speaker lined up for the next Businessmen's Luncheon. That is intended to edify you, but also giving you an opportunity to bring an unsaved friend from work or from some business enterprise that you're involved with. That'll be coming up March 6th, Easter Sunday, March 31st, First Responders Day, May the 5th, Open House, October 6th, Thanksgiving Basket Delivery, November 23rd. And we've already determined that we'll be going over to the Boulevard again for a Christmas outreach. And all of these are just opportunities to do what we're going to learn tonight in the Scripture. Throw out the nets, Jesus said to Peter. He didn't say the net. He said the nets, plural. And we're going to throw out some nets in 2013 and look to be fishers of men here at Lancaster Baptist Church. We're also working with our youth department and excited about their outreach. We have several things happening right now in the public schools, and we're very thankful for that. Both Brother Furso and Brother Gabe Rule have opportunity to go into the public schools with different teaching opportunities, and right now doing some parenting teaching. And we've actually been invited by principals of some of these schools to come in and to teach on parenting, and I'm thankful that God would open up that door. Recently had an opportunity to speak to some of the leadership of the Antelope Valley School District, and they're just acknowledging that children's homes are falling apart and that some of the academic difficulties are because of the home life, and they're welcoming involvement to come and provide teaching on parenting for these parents, and so we're thankful for that. Also, our youth department, Brother Chapel and Brother Sisson and some of our men that are working there as well are involved. Brother Dauphin and also Brother Linder working with our public school Bible clubs. Right now we have 4 Bible clubs. We have Pete Knight High School, Eastside High School, Palmdale High School, and Lancaster High School. One of the goals for the youth department is to start a Bible club at Highland High School. Last year we saw 17 teenagers accept Christ through the Bible club ministry, and we're excited about getting into the high schools, and it's a little bit of a relational approach, a little bit different than just preaching right here at church, but through those relationships we have opportunity, and young people come. And I want you to pray for our youth outreach as we serve others in the public school environment in the new year. I think of just this last year, how our youth department made spaghetti dinner for the basketball team over here at Eastside High School. And Brother Sisson and Brother Chapel have been getting to know the coach over there and just trying to be a blessing to that coach and to those kids over there. And do you know that team, many of them, that next Sunday came to church and heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I appreciate our teenagers not just being cliquish and just thinking about our little friendships right here, but remembering there's thousands of teenagers in Lancaster who need Jesus Christ. And so they're going to have an enlarged vision for this year, and you pray for them. I want to remind you that we do have 5 chapels here that are extension ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, and this year we're going to give them a brand new logo and a brand new look. These are going to be New Life chapels. New Life Baptist chapels are going to be a ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church, serving in Lake LA, Mojave, Castaic, Fontana, and Taft. And we're going to be training the pastors of these chapels twice a month. We're going to have opportunity to do some remodeling in the buildings. We're going to be making new signs for the new chapels that are starting and the existing chapels that don't have a new sign. And if you think about it, put them on your prayer list. Every single week, around 300 or 400 people in these 5 offsites are meeting, and they're having preaching from men that are right here from Lancaster Baptist Church. And we're so thankful for them. Where's Abram Thomas? Abram, where are you at? Are you in here somewhere? Usually sits on my left. Abram, hey, stand up here. How was the start today out at Lake LA? Just shout out a good report. How many did you have in church today? At 24? Do you have anybody saved today? Not today. You pray for Lake Los Angeles, and Brother Abram he's preaching out there every single Sunday. You can be seated, Brother Abram. That's one of our newer ones just getting going. But aren't you glad to know that there's a young man with the heart for God preaching every Sunday in that city? And you pray for them as they knock on doors and reach people out at Lake LA. Pray for these chapel ministries. Next, we want to talk about missions, and we're excited about growing together and serving through missions. I want to share a great report with you. Last year, through our missionary conference, and also with some that had come by in 2011, and we were able to add on the roster a little bit later in 2012, we were able in 2012 to add 33 missionaries to our missionary roster. All God's people said? And I'll tell you what, that's a tremendous blessing. I got to tell you something, folks, just to put it in perspective. I would say that it's not a stretch to say that there's probably 90% of Baptist churches in America that don't support 33 total missionaries. And last year, God let us add 33 combined new missionaries to our roster. That's just a blessing to my heart. In so many different countries, we were able to help plant 5 new churches in California. We now support 213 missionaries. We had missionary trips and outreaches to 3 countries last year: El Salvador. We were able to see a group go to the Philippines, and also some that went down into Mexico. We're excited about that. This year, we're going to have 3 opportunities for missions outreach, and I'd like to mention those so that you can begin praying and preparing. First, we have have a trip to El Salvador, March 18 through 23, and many of you have expressed interest in Central America. If you're interested in El Salvador, I want you to call the office, talk to Brother Navarrete or Brother Furso, and get your name on the list. There'll be a meeting coming up in about 3 weeks for the group that's going there. We have a single adults group that's going to the Philippines, July 8 through 18. Brother Clark Graham, who's our singles director, also was a missionary for 10 years or so, 8 or 10 years in the Philippines, will be taking singles over there this summer, and there'll be an outreach to Romania with Brother Tim Tyler, our missionary in Romania, December 9th and 10th. There's a big conference. We're going to go early. There'll be a group from our church doing door knocking and staying after that conference as well. And so these are three opportunities to visit the mission field, to pass out gospel tracts, to encourage missionary kids, and to encourage missionaries. And let me encourage you folks, this is a great way to serve others in 2013. Don't forget our missions conference coming up October 26th through the 29th, and let's be in prayer as we have another group of about 25 missionaries already invited that God will speak to our hearts in a wonderful way at this year's missions conference. Now, let me talk to you a little bit about serving our community and serving this growing church family through the Elevate and Magnify opportunities that we have. Elevate and Magnify is what we refer to when we're talking about campus development. And Elevate and Magnify is a wonderful opportunity for elevating and magnifying Jesus Christ as we develop this piece of desert land in a way that honors and glorifies God. And if you haven't had a chance lately to visit elevateandmagnify.com, you want to do that. Go to the church website. There'll be a link there. Or go directly to elevateandmagnify.com. You'll see posted there a lot of different updates about what's happening right now with permit processes and plans and some of the things I'm going to mention tonight. You're going to get an update there at elevateandmagnify.com. What are some of the things that we've seen happen and that we're shooting for with respect to campus development in 2013? Well, first of all, we're so thankful that we were able to see the West Wing completely constructed in 2012. And I'll tell you what, that building in use is a blessing to my heart. I walked through the building this morning. In fact, earlier this morning, I had to do some recording for Elevate and Magnify website, and I went in and did a quick recording in the little studio that's set up in that building. But as I was walking by and walking up to that room, there was one of our ladies in a chair in one of the rooms with another lady leading her to Jesus Christ. And I just thought, you know what? If that one lady is the only lady that ever got saved in that building, it just kind of made it worth it getting that building constructed. That's what the buildings are for. Life change. People coming to know Jesus as their Savior. Now, we have a tremendous opportunity this year with the West Wing, and we finished the construction. I want you to pray as we approach the month of March, bringing our commitments in, that we can completely pay for the construction on the West Wing. That's goal number one. We've done very well. I think we're more than 50%, maybe 60% or so. I think we have about another million or so dollars to get this building completely paid for. And I'm not saying it has to be 100% paid before we start into something else, but really that's been our heart all along, is to just do our best to get that done. And I want you to pray with me that as we go through this year, we can see that building completely paid for. Don't you believe that would honor the Lord? And I want you to pray with me about that. That's one of the things we're targeting with Elevate and Magnify. There is another project, though, I want to briefly speak to you about tonight, and I do feel that this project is worthy of our attention in 2013. And just to give you a little groundwork for this project, a few years ago, God allowed our church to purchase 10 acres on the east side of the campus. And of course, we're in the corner of the green section here on this particular map. And over the years, God has allowed us to purchase 20 acres, and then another 20 acres, and then another 20, and a 10 on the corner, and a 5 up there at the right-hand side. And 2 years ago, this 10 acres that you see in the red here. Now, most of you are aware that for many years, for 27 years, we have had a bus ministry here at Lancaster Baptist Church. And God has used the bus ministry in a great and wonderful way. In fact, hundreds of people come to Lancaster Baptist Church every week through the bus ministry. And Jesus has taught us to go out. And he said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Not only do little children ride the buses, but really moms and dads ride the buses, and teenagers ride the buses. We have one bus that's just for single moms who don't have a car. And every week we have about 20 single moms. We have one bus that brings in folks that have mental handicap. It's a bus just entirely for people with difficulties like that. And we go out and we bring them to church. And it's not paid for by tax dollars, and it's not paid for with federal or state funds, but we have the privilege of giving so that people can come to church like that. And yet, for these many years, and we have a fleet of around 20 or more vehicles, for these many years, we've had these vehicles worked on every day. We have a full-time mechanic here at the church, and he works on those vehicles starting at about 7 in the morning, right out here on an asphalt parking lot, without any heat, without any storage sufficiently for his tools. When the highway patrol comes, we always get great marks, we do great work, but it's not an environment that I believe is the proper testimony. And so this year, we're going to take some time with our endeavor through Elevated Magnify, and on this new property, we've laid it out. We already have been with the city. They've already given us permission to take this particular site and do two things here. We're going to have a bus barn on one side. On the other side will be a storage building that will include housing for our publications of curriculum and tracts and different things that we provide for other churches and so forth. And this will be a tremendous opportunity that God will give to us as a church in this particular facility to help our bus ministry be more effective and to help reach children with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wonder where Brother Healy is tonight. Brother Healy, where are you? Come up here. Step up here, would you? Stand back there with an usher coat. Brother Healy is a retired Marine and came to Lancaster Baptist Church, I think 7 years ago, Brother Healy, you came. And this brother, every morning this winter, has been getting up, going over here across the street, pulling a bus into the back behind the Hudson Hall there. And sometimes lately, with the temperatures in the 30s in the morning, because of his love for Jesus and for children to hear the gospel, turning wrenches out there. And I believe that we as a church this year ought to build an air-conditioned and heated facility where the buses can come in and we can change the oil from underneath the bays and where we can store the kinds of equipment to get the wheels off quickly and provide a working environment for this brother and the other volunteers who help him every single week. And I'd like you just to take a moment and thank Brother Healy for the great job he does maintaining our buses. Thank you, Brother Healy. Thank you so much. You know, a few months ago, we had an oil change day for all of our single moms, and we changed the oil for some 40 single moms here at Lancaster Baptist, maybe more than that. But did you know that Brother Healy, when he came to me first, he didn't tell me about how many people we changed oil for, but he came up and he said, "Pastor, we had two ladies accept Jesus as their Savior today." You see, that's the heart. Everything we're trying to do comes back to seeing people saved. Now, this past year, we had 1,511 different boys and girls and adults who rode the buses to Lancaster Baptist Church, and that was a wonderful year for us. I think we're averaging around 600 or so children who ride to service every single week, but about 1,511 different young people. Last year, there were 708 people who rode the buses, who heard the gospel, who prayed to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And while many churches have just flat out quit the bus ministry, they don't want to pay the insurance, they don't want to pay the gas, people don't want to get involved volunteering, we believe this is a great way to throw out the net and to catch men with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think of some that have been reached. Brother Abram's here tonight. Abram, stand back up there. I'm going to mention you again tonight. He rode the buses as a 13-year-old boy, and 13, 14, 15, and 16, Abram Thomas came on the buses and heard the gospel and heard the Bible. And during that time, God called him to preach, and Abram attended West Coast Baptist College and graduated last year. I wish a larger percentage of our bus kids were preachers today. Just a few are, but I'm sure glad, Brother Abram, that you're one of those young bus kids that's a preacher today. And let's congratulate Abram for his faithfulness to the Lord. I think about Garen Patrick. Garen, are you in here tonight? If you are, stand up. I'm not sure if he's in here tonight. He might be. In the back. Come up here where we can see you. And Brother Garen Patrick, he started riding the bus when he was 6. And he began riding the bus. And he rode Brother John Downey's bus route when he was a 6-year-old boy. Come on up here, buddy. And Garen began to just listen to what was being said. And by the way, sometimes we think about the bus ministry as maybe illiterate or underachievers or so forth, but that's not always the case. Garen, you attended 1 year at secular school, I believe, up at UC Berkeley, was it? And was up at UC Berkeley. What were you majoring in?
Business.
In business. And God did a work on his heart. Maybe we'll hear more of the testimony in a month or two. And while he was up there attending a Bible-believing church, something's troubling him in his soul. And Garen said, "You know, I don't want to give my whole life to business. If God would use me in the ministry, I'd like to be involved in the ministry." And Garen came back home to Lancaster. What year are you at West Coast, Garen?
I'm a senior right now.
Senior at West Coast Baptist College. And here's a bus kid. And because of the tithes and offerings of this church, here's a young man who's going to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's congratulate Garen tonight, shall we? God bless you, Garen. I think about Luis Montaño. You've heard me tell his story perhaps in the past. Here's a young man that came to our church on the buses. He was wearing kind of a tank top and shorts and kind of looked like a gangbanger. And the reason was, he was a gangbanger. All kinds of people ride our buses to church. Luis Montaño came into church, and Brother Rick Bishop, you can't get around Brother Rick without him asking you if you know Jesus as your Savior. And Brother Rick went up to this young man and in his gang attire, and he said, "Young man, if you were to die, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven?" And boy, Luis looked at him and just shook him like that and said, "Get your hands off me," and walked away from him. And we thought, well, we tried to talk to the young man, and a lot of times our bus kids don't want to hear about it and so forth. And yet that week something happened. And by the way, this is a reason you never want to get discouraged with witnessing, because you never know. Your job is just to sow the seed. You don't know what could happen after that. And that week, Luis was in a home over in Palmdale, and he and some friends, they were there and playing rock music and drinking alcohol and just having a party. And someone drove by and boom, boom, fired shots into the house. One of Luis's friends had a stomach full of lead and was rushed to the hospital. And Luis Montaño, as a 16-year-old boy, rode the bus back to church the next week. And he went looking for Rick Bishop. And he went to Mr. Bishop and he said, "Sir, if I would have let you talk to me last week about what happens when people die, what would you have told me?" And Rick Bishop had the opportunity to lead Luis Montaño to Jesus Christ. I'm glad to tell you that Luis kept riding the bus. I'm glad to tell you after he got saved, he came up to me in 1996 and he said, "You know, I really love being saved and I'm thinking I might want to be a preacher. Do you know of anywhere where I might go to Bible college and learn more about that?" And this is just another young man that today he and his family live in Hermosillo, Mexico, where he's pastoring there and winning souls to Christ. And I just wanted to take a minute just to say we're excited about the bus ministry. And this year, I think it's finally time after 27 years that we just take a moment and over here on this 10 acres, set up a warehouse and set up a bus garage where we can pull a couple buses indoors at a time, work on them. When the highway patrol come in and check our records and see our maintenance records, that there'll be a wonderful testimony. I just believe Lancaster Baptist ought to have the very best testimony in the realm of our bus maintenance in that area. Also, the publications warehouse would be a part of this metal building as well. You know, last year there were 5,603 churches that ordered curriculum and tracts and helps from Lancaster Baptist Church, and it's been our privilege to serve so many churches across the country. We really need a place to set up some warehouse racks and put a forklift and be able to bring in the UPS truck and load up the truck with these items that are being sent out, and this will enable us to continue helping missionaries and shipping materials to those that want a Bible-based King James Version, local church helps like we print, and this is going to be a wonderful opportunity. So we're focusing in the new year on first, finishing off the West Wing in the way of paying for the West Wing. Second, building a bus and storage warehouse on the new lot. And thirdly, I want you to begin praying with me as we begin now working on the working drawings for the East Wing and beginning looking in earnest at how it will lay out, working with the building committee and ultimately with the city in getting prepared for the East Wing, which will enable us eventually to broaden out this auditorium and provide further growth room for the future. Now, if the Lord would, it would be fine with me to pay that off, build the bus barn, and start the East Wing all in the same year. All God's people said? God can do that, folks, and I'm just laying it out to you and sharing with you some of the priorities. Someone might say, "When are we going to start the East Wing?" Just as soon as God provides. I'd like to see us get the bulk of this paid for and then take a run in getting some funds saved for the East Side, and as soon as God provides, I'll let you know and we'll get going. But in the meantime, these are the goals that we're asking God for in the new year, finishing up the West Wing, starting on this project on the East property, and then beginning the work to prepare the way for the East Wing project. Let me give you one other project, just a little piece of our vision, also that is something I'm not asking the church family to give toward, but I'm asking you to pray towards this project, if you would. This is our student commons building. Some of you have seen the pad out here on the south side of the campus, and you've seen the little sign that says student commons. It's the future gymnasium building. This building will have not only the gymnasium, it'll have about 20 classrooms. It'll be a triple wide gymnasium. It would be a place where we could actually take the church family in for meals. It would be a place, of course, for the college students to have athletic events and have their social events, and for our youth department to have various activities, and for our Christian school to host the Southwest Regional Christian Schools competitions that we host, as well as the youth conference. It would be an event center for conservative Bible-believing Baptist churches in the southwestern United States, and I want you to pray with me that God will let us see this building started as well in the very near future. Just in the last few years, friends of the college, not members of this church, just friends that we've met in different meetings and maybe on the Alaskan cruise or out preaching somewhere in different times, have given now over $1 million that's set aside towards this approximately $4 million project. And I want to ask our church family, I believe that God put on my heart a few years ago with the church family, let's make the priority, the church building and the bus ministry, and let's do the work of the ministry. And I really believe if we'll do our very best on these things, that God's going to honor and God's going to bless, and there's going to be some people from across the country saying, you know what, they're training up 1,000 young men and women at West Coast Baptist College, and they'll help us with this building. How many of you say, Pastor, I'll put that building on my prayer list with you? I really wish you would. There might be someone watching live stream tonight, sitting out in Pennsylvania or Georgia, and they're done with their service watching live stream, and you pray that maybe God will touch someone's heart across this country as we want to raise up a standard here and raise up young men and women who will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, just a few things about Elevate and Magnify as we close this part of our service. First of all, let me remind you as we approach the winter revival once again. You say, why are you mentioning that? You already mentioned it. Because, folks, let me tell you, if our hearts aren't tender toward the Lord, nothing I've been talking about these last many minutes is going to really happen. Nothing is done without hearts that are tender for God. Pray that God will work in our hearts. Dr. Goetz sent me an email just last week, and he said, Pastor, here's the titles of the messages for the revival. I tell you, I read those titles, and I got on my knees, and I began to pray. I was convicted reading the titles. And I thought, this will be a revival unlike any we've ever had. I'm so excited about this revival. Please remember to be in prayer. Secondly, don't forget the fellowship night coming up on February the 17th. Now, in past years, we've had different ways of getting ready and preparing for the Elevate and Magnify offering in the month of March. And last year and this year, what we've chosen to do is to have a fellowship night where we come together in this auditorium, and instead of having 7 nights of dinner where I go to the hospital on the 7th night, we're going to have a great night on February the 17th, all together, one night, everybody seeing it together. And then instead of me eating 7 prime ribs in a row, what I'm going to do on that night is we're going to preach it all together in this auditorium, and then we're going to go to about 120 homes, and we're going to have fellowship and prayer in the homes of our members and really bring this before the Lord and ask the Lord to help us to get this auditorium project continually underway, and not just underway, but now finished, and then also to help the bus ministry and provide some of this storage space in the new year on this east side. And I trust that you'll RSVP for that. Now, we're not charging for that night, February 17th. The service, of course, or the meal at the home. It's all something that's being done out of the love of hearts of our host. But we do want to encourage you to RSVP. And you can do that tonight. There will be about 8 tables across the back of the auditorium. You just go to one of the tables, give them your name, and say, I'll be there February 17th. When you do that, you'll receive the launch out pin, like I have on my lapel right here, and you'll have an opportunity to RSVP, get the pin, and then begin praying for February the 17th. Well, I think you can see, as we've shared tonight, a lot of things that we've already been doing, some things we've never done before, but all of it will require all of us launching out into the deep in 2013. And I want you to pray with me that by God's grace, we'll launch out, we'll see what only God can do at Lancaster Baptist Church, and we'll see that in this next year, many, many people come to Christ, because tonight we've decided to launch out to the glory of God.